if I can get 'em, but I got 'em right now. Hey, I wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get 'em, but I got 'em right now.
Develop these bars for the developing stars. Whoa, wrecked by the stars though, but they know just who they are. The knowledge is deep, man, 'cause college is bleak, man. Knees of the bees, man. Devy happy hour now. I trust him with everything. Every confidence giving me confidence. Sipping is hopping and really no stopping. I'm making a champion. Y'all put a sock in it. But this is life, bro. They're at it all night, though. So you can just drive slow and get down with the Devy crew.
I wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now. Hey, I wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you are listening, wherever you are listening. This is episode 58 of the Devy Happy Hour. My name is Skip Newton, at SkipNewton31 on the Twitter machine. Thrilled to be recording from Eagan, Minnesota, where it is unseasonably warm and sunny. It's a gorgeous day for football. It's a gorgeous weekend for football. Today is Saturday, November 7th, recording with my co-host from North Carolina, Matthew Jackson. How are you doing, Obi-Wan?
Yo, Skip, what's good, man? It's good to be back. I felt like I was a little bit of a hiatus there, man. I didn't know. I haven't been on in a few weeks, man. So I was getting a little, getting that FOMO a little bit, man. I feel like I was missing out on this podcast. I was missing getting on here and talking football with you every week. So I'm glad to be back. We got a lot to talk about. So I'm glad to be on with you and happy to watch some football this week. It's been a busy time, but I'm excited for football today, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Great to have you back. Of course, a happy belated anniversary to you and your wonderful wife. So glad you guys were able to celebrate that. And of course, we're missing our third co-host, Brian Shikochis, out in Boston, Mass. Master Yoda, busy as always with his real job teaching, and it's just crazy in the COVID season. So wishing the best to you, Brian, and you know you're missed. You know we got your back, and we love you, man. So hope all is well out there. Let's get into some of the news. Of course, it's been a couple weeks since I did my Han Solo podcast, but some news to share. The big one, the big injury in Alabama, wide receiver Jalen Waddle out for the season, unfortunately hurt on that opening kickoff, if memory serves. That's a big one, you know, Matt, because he was getting a lot of publicity, a lot of push for the first overall wide receiver taken in the draft next April. Do you think this impacts that? And if you don't, you know, why not?
Man, depending on who you talk to, just with this Devontae Smith injury, I've talked to a lot of guys that are dropping him in their rankings. Me personally, I think he's going to be okay. He's got a good amount of time to rehab. I still think he's going high in the draft. He's put on the production profile that you'd like to see out of wide receivers. So, I mean, I'm not particularly worried about Devontae Smith. Now, when you look at some guys that can step up, this obviously opens the door for Devontae Smith to just absolutely explode this season. He already did that last game with Devontae Smith coming out to the tune of over 200 yards, four total touchdowns. So obviously you like him to just have a massive season after this. It also opens the door for a guy that I like, and a guy that I've been hyping up the last few weeks, and John Mechie. So I like him to step up into an even bigger role for sure. But when it comes to Jalen Waddle, this doesn't affect his stock for me at all. He's still one of the top wide receivers in this class, and he's showed that week in and week out.
I agree that he's definitely one of the top wide receivers in the class still. I am concerned that there will be enough NFL teams that will drop him down, that he might slip a little bit in the draft. I mean, we're not talking, you know, an historic drop where he all of a sudden falls day three. I mean, that's crazy, but I could see him going into round two where teams just don't want to take that chance with a first round pick on a guy like that. Of course, it all depends on how the recovery goes between now and then. So, you know, a lot of time for him to get back to get better health. But yeah, I love what you pointed out about the wide receivers in Alabama all stepping up. I mean, of course, that's, you know, one of the best programs in the country, and it's just next man up. I mean, they have plenty of talent on the roster. You know, Smith looked awesome. Mechie has looked really good this season. So, yeah, they're definitely not gonna be hurting from that perspective. So, you got a couple of other, you know, big name quarterbacks out due to the COVID. Of course, Trevor Lawrence, the 101, is the huge one there in Clemson. It was out last week and is out again this week versus Notre Dame. So another opportunity for DJ Uiagalelei to step up, the true freshman five-star. So that is exciting for me to see, because, you know, we got a little bit of a DJU in the first few games. You know, he'd come in for mop-up duty, which you really can't tell anything in those situations. But, you know, he had a real test last week against Boston College because they came to play. And then this week he gets a really good defense with Notre Dame. I'm pumped for his opportunity. And obviously this, you know, the COVID stuff doesn't impact Lawrence at all from a draft perspective. But how do you think DJU is going to look? I know we'll probably talk about him more, but what do you think?
I'm excited to see Uiagalelei, man. He looked every bit the part of a top quarterback and a five-star prospect in last week's game. I personally wish that they would have aired the ball out more and used that cannon of an arm that he has. They seem to be doing a lot of dink and dunks all game, and honestly, that got them behind early in the game. So hopefully this week they open up the game script a little bit, let him chuck it a little more than they did. I think we can definitely say that Trevor Lawrence is everything that he's advertised now, right? When we've seen a backup quarterback come in, and while DJ looked great, they were playing in a close game. It wasn't the blowout that you're used to seeing out of Clemson football. So it's definitely Trevor Lawrence. That's not a system quarterback. He's everything that he's advertised to be. I'm excited to see DJ with this opportunity. He looked good. I just hope they open the ball, air the ball out a little more than they have last week.
Yeah, I thought it was clear that Clemson went in with a game plan to keep things simple. Everything was short. He didn't have to make a lot of, you know, deep drops. He didn't have to make a lot of, you know, tough decisions as far as reads and stuff. You know, let's get him an easy first read and get him into the flow of the game. And really, based on the fact that their defense kept giving up points to Boston College, it kind of necessitated that, okay, we need to open this up more and win the game. So from that perspective, it was good because we had to see him more. And I think, honestly, given that Lawrence is out this week again, that's probably best for his development going into a big game. I mean, they have to win this game. So I'm just really pumped to see that one. I can't wait to watch that game. Just in general, I think it's going to be a good game, but, you know, him specifically. Another quarterback that came out absolutely looking like a stud, and that pains me to say because he's playing for my much-hated rival, Wisconsin, was Graham Mertz, the redshirt freshman. If memory serves, because this is a while back, he had one incomplete pass to go with his five touchdowns, and I believe the one incomplete pass was a catchable one. I think it was even a drop. So
it was a drop. He should have been absolutely perfect, man. He looked amazing that game. He should have had 100% completion percentage. And it almost feels like we got teased a little bit, don't it? Like, we get this awesome quarterback performance, and everybody gets super hyped in the Twitter universe and the Devy realm, and then it's like, okay, well, now you don't get to watch him anymore because he has COVID. Like, I was disappointed.
And then it spreads to the whole team. They've had, you know, last week's game canceled. They've got this week's game canceled. Yeah, Wisconsin's having a real tough time with the COVID. It's just spreading like a wildfire. So not a surprise there from those of us that live in this area. A couple other running back newsworthy things. Kylan Hill, Mississippi State, has opted out for the remainder of the season. So we've seen a little bit of more of that as the season has progressed. These players that have started playing and then all of a sudden opting out. So he'll be entering the draft. So no more Kylan Hill. And Penn State running back Noah Kane out for the remainder of the season with an injury. So that one was interesting to me because that was a backfield that I think Devy owners really had to keep an eye on. I mean, who was going to fill in for Journey Brown, you know, the huge 2021 prospect that we all, you know, had, you know, in our top five, you know, and thought, okay, this guy's going to pick up where he left off and just have an absolute breakout season. And then he gets an injury, and now Noah Kane, arguably the first guy that was going to get the opportunity to replace Brown, steps in and he gets hurt. So wide open backfield for Penn State. And I'm a firm believer somebody's going to step up and claim this. I just don't know who it's going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. There's one thing that I want to say on that, and it's I think that we've gotten enough sample size now between the last 2 weeks that I feel confident saying that somebody's going to step up, but does somebody need to step up? I mean, when you look at it, this Penn State team is shifting from more of a running team to now they're throwing the ball and they're slinging the rock, and there's somebody that I'm going to talk about later that is the major benefactor of that. So, I mean, this team is becoming more pass-friendly, and I think we're going away from the run-heavy team that we've seen in recent years from Saquon Barkley to Miles Sanders to Journey Brown.
This is true. This is true. They are definitely starting to pass the ball more, and we'll get to that more in a little bit. And then one more injury news to note, 2022 eligible receiver for Georgia, George Pickens, arguably the top wide receiver available, you know, in the 2022 draft if he opts out, is out today versus Florida, so that's a bummer. Pickens has had what I'll call, you know, I don't want to say disappointing, but he's not putting up those rocket, you know, stats of production that you want to see at a big name and top, you know, top prospect wide receivers. I think there's reasons for that make sense. The system is not one that's going to generate a lot of passing yards. He's got questionable quarterback play, so you really have to. You know, he's one of those guys, I think, you really have to watch the film on him to see how he separates, you know, how he uses his body to make catches, you know, things like that to truly gauge just how good Pickens is. Because if you're just a stats guy, he's not gonna show up for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Georgia wide receivers have always been hard to watch anyway. I mean, you got A.J. Green. But outside of that, can we really name a Georgia wide receiver that's come into the league and just absolutely exploded? That team is not a pass-friendly offense to be a part of, and especially not now with the quarterback play. I mean, the whole Georgia offense as a whole looks abysmal. I mean, they've got the defense to carry them, but I talked to somebody today where we were talking about the Florida-Georgia game, and I think this is going to be a game that's blown out of the water. Like, I don't see a way where Georgia keeps up with Florida offensively, regardless of how good their defense is. They're not going to put the points on the board to keep up with Florida.
Well, and that's a great point with that great defense by Georgia, because if Kyle Trask can continue to light things up for Florida against one of the best defenses in the country, then his stock is just solidified near the top of that draft next year. I mean, he's definitely pushing the conversation to be a round one pick. And, you know, these are the kinds of games where you have to go out and make that kind of statement, I think. So we'll see if Trask can step up today. So let's get into some kind of general observations that we've had over the last couple weeks since our last show. And I know one of them you've already touched on already, but why don't you start with things that you've noticed lately?
Yeah, so I've already touched on Devontae Smith, the explosive game that he had this last week. He's somebody that's going to be a major benefactor from this Jaylen Waddle injury, and he absolutely exploded last week. Love to see it. I know a lot of guys aren't as high on Devontae Smith just because of size concerns and whatnot. I'm not worried about that at all. He's an explosive athlete. He's going to be just fine in the NFL. when it comes to Georgia Tech, they just need to use Gibbs more. From what I've seen the last 2 weeks, Gibbs' usage in the running and pass game has been down. And you can see that when you watch their game. I mean, they're not getting him as involved as they did at the start of the season, and they're suffering the price because of it. Like, I don't know how you don't get a guy as good and as explosive of an athlete as Gibbs is and more involved in your offense. I don't know what's happening, but they need to fix that real quick, or it's going to get really ugly. Ohio State, that offense is just fun to watch, right? A lot of people said coming into this year that Fields had the most to lose playing this season and not opting out. And so far, he's shown that he's every bit of the guy that we're touting him to be. He's statistically better than he was last season at this point in the season. He's absolutely balling out. Garrett Wilson is the main benefactor of that. I love to watch Garrett Wilson. He's absolutely exploding for this offense. I'm a little surprised, and I'll touch on this later, about how little that the freshman wide receivers are being used. But, I mean, Fields is lights out, and he's solidifying himself as a top pick. And then just Breece Hall. The more I watch Breece Hall, he's the top running back in this 2022 class, and it's not close. Like, there's no one that's rivaling Breece Hall right now. I mean, he's the top running back, and there's no one anywhere around him.
Yeah, I would agree on a lot of, well, pretty much everything you just said. You know, Devonta Smith is kind of a skinny dude, but he's so good, and I think that's going to translate well. Everybody knows my love for Jahmyr Gibbs, so I don't even need to go into that more. But yeah, they need to use him more. They need to be creative with it. Like I said, he's got a lot of that Alvin Kamara, in my opinion, to him. So that's the kind of player I think he is, because he's so explosive. Ohio State's offense is absolutely legit, and I think people, you know, that want to, their NFL team to, you know, tank for Trevor, we're hearing a lot of that. Probably, you know, we're definitely hearing it here in Minnesota, which it's never going to happen, because with two wins we already have too many. You guys are probably, we're hoping for the same thing early, but no, you guys could still win that division. But in Philly, but there's other good quarterbacks, and Fields is absolutely the number two, in my opinion. He is the second best quarterback in the class, and I don't see that changing, no matter how good some of these other guys look. And I'm going to get into that in a little bit too, but yeah, he's the real deal. I think it's tough for those freshman wide receivers in Ohio State to step in when, you know, you've got Olave and you've got Wilson in their way, right? Because I mean, they're good. I mean, we've talked about that. That wide receiver room is just loaded. So yeah, it's tough. I think we just need to be patient with those guys.
Fields is going to be a really nice consolation prize to a team that just narrowly misses out on Trevor Lawrence. Like for one of those teams that has one or two wins, like, oh, you don't get Trevor Lawrence, but you get somebody that arguably could be just as good and is a way better athlete than Trevor Lawrence. Like he's going to be a really nice second prize.
Yeah. What I would love to see is like a team like Houston get the second pick in the draft, because obviously they're not going to draft a quarterback. I mean, they just re-signed Deshaun Watson, and Deshaun Watson is clearly a franchise quarterback. So what happens then? Do they, you know, you could get all these teams trying to trade up to the number two to get Justin Fields. I think that would be really exciting on draft day. So I'm kind of rooting for that, you know, unless of course, you know, the Vikings continue to lose out and they don't pull weird upsets like last week in Green Bay, which was awesome, by the way. But anyway, moving on to, yeah, Breece Hall. Yep. It's kind of a down running back class, but he's good. He's really good. You know, I think if he were coming out this year, he's the cleared number. He would be the number three this year. So Breece Hall is a guy that he has established himself as the number one back next year for sure. Just a few of my observations, kind of sticking with the quarterback theme a little bit to start here. You know, we've talked a lot about Sam Howell, and he kind of started off slow. Things weren't looking as great in North Carolina. Part of that was, you know, the offense just seemed a little off. And the other part is they are absolutely running the ball like crazy. I mean, they're doing so well. And we'll talk about those running backs, you know, in our next topic. So I really want to get into them and get your thoughts on them, especially since you're out in North Carolina. But the dude's ball, Sam Howell, still the real deal. He's my number one quarterback in the next class. Now we'll see if that holds true. We got a lot of time before the 2022 draft, but right now he's still there. I mean, he's third in touchdown passes through a sophomore season in the ACC, and that's in the history of the ACC. And you look at the other names in the top five, it includes Trevor Lawrence, of course, Deshaun Watson, who we just mentioned, this fellow who plays in Seattle named Russell Wilson. You know, he's pretty good. And the other guy was not one to mention, but you know, that's a great company of quarterbacks to be included in. So I think people need to remember that what Sam Howell is doing is pretty extraordinary. And the other quarterback that's looking amazing, and we've talked on it before, but I'm watching more and more of his games now because I want to just see how good he really is Zach Wilson at BYU. This kid can ball, and I think he's making an argument to maybe move up as the third quarterback off the board. You know, I think that is going to be one of the most intriguing parts of the 2021 draft. You know, assuming everyone that's eligible comes out, you know, the top two we've talked about, you've got Lawrence, you've got Fields, but then the next group, and it's a good group because it's getting more and more deep. Who is it? Is it Zach Wilson? Is it Trey Lance? Is it Kyle Trask?
Matt Jones.
I mean,
Jones looks good.
Right. I think that's going to be a really intriguing thing in the draft. The thing that I like most about Wilson is he seems to have that it factor. He has that a little bit of swagger, a little bit of I'm just going to make plays that make my team better. And I like that in a quarterback. I think he has that leadership ability and just I'm going to do whatever's necessary to make it happen. And it's just based on kind of his presence in the pocket, the way he plays, his body language. I mean, he can run. I mean, he's mobile. So I like that. I don't mind pocket passers, of course. You know, you got a cannon for an arm and you can drop the ball anywhere. That's great. But man, when you can move in the pocket and you can still complete those passes, especially on the run, that is a deadly combo. And, you know, of course he's not the next Lamar Jackson. Let's not get crazy about the running, but he can definitely move and pick up yards or escape pressure. I like him more and more. What are your thoughts, you know, kind of getting into that, you know, that second, I'm not even gonna say second tier, third tier really of quarterbacks for the class next year with the guys that I mentioned?
All I can tell you is if you need a quarterback in any of your dynasty leagues, this year is the year to do it. I mean, this has been the most loaded quarterback class that I can remember in recent memory. I mean, you've obviously got your top two in Lawrence and Fields. I love Kyle Trask. You know that. Zach Wilson, you hit on everything on Zach Wilson. I mean, his arm strength, his accuracy. I mean, up until 2 weeks ago, he was the most accurate quarterback in college football. And there was one play specifically that I'm thinking of last week where he shows the awareness to feel pressure, step up in the pocket, and he absolutely launches the ball 50 yards downfield off of one leg, drops it into the bucket like through a dime. His receiver dropped the ball, but it was the one of the most beautiful deep ball throws that I saw all last week. I mean, and this was what this kid does consistently, and his legs are a real underrated part of his game. I love Zach Wilson. Then you got Matt Jones, who might throw the best deep ball in college football. So I mean, this class is absolutely loaded at the quarterback position. We know who's going one and two, but I mean, we could see a real revival in young quarterbacks entering the league this year, where I see at least probably four deep, maybe five of guys that they could come into the league and potentially get starting quarterback jobs in the NFL.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a nice combination of guys that are going to come in and they're going to start right away. Like, you know, obviously Trevor Lawrence is that guy. I think Justin Fields can be that guy. And then you're going to see a lot of the teams that might have an aging veteran that's ready to get the heir apparent, you know, and there's a lot of those teams out there. I mean, you know, you could argue, you know, obviously my Vikings, you've got Tampa Bay, you've got New Orleans. I mean, the list is pretty long when you start going down the list of teams. And I'm glad you brought up Mac Jones. I didn't mention him. I know he's getting a lot of pub and he's moving up people's lists. I'm still not convinced yet, but man, he looks good. I mean, it's hard for me when you've got that much talent around you to say, okay, you know, what is he doing that makes him special and unique that's going to make him a good player in the NFL? Because I look at Alabama and I'm thinking, all right, if you take my guy, Tanner Morgan from the Gophers, and stick him in there, he's absolutely dominating. I mean, you know, some of these other quarterbacks, they would look so good in that offense. But that said, he's making plays. I mean, you're right. His deep ball is, I mean, those guys they're not adjusting to it very often, right? I mean, he's hitting them in stride and he's making good reads. So yeah, he's another one. And, you know, and my guy Morgan too. I mean, he was getting some pub as a guy that could sneak into, you know, the end of the first round. But I mean, I don't think that's going to happen, but you know, my Gophers are losing, but he's playing well. I mean, he was lighting it up, and we'll talk more about one Gopher in particular later when I talk about one of my guys, but yeah, he could be a day two pick for sure. So it's a deep class.
And somebody that's not being talked about too, just because of injury, not to cut you off, but something I want to hit on. If he comes back, Miles Brennan, and performs the way he was performing the first few weeks, I mean, he's another guy that could be a late round steal in drafts. I mean, this class is just so absolutely deep.
Yeah, it is fun. It's fun when you have deep positions like that, you know, like the wide receiver class this year, and then, you know, even next year could be deeper. Where these guys fall and you know, how they then translate to the NFL, and you know, which ones step in as rookies. Another one that's just fun to watch, and my last guy to mention, is finally, you know, Buffalo's playing again, and Jarrett Patterson, running back. man, this kid is electric. He's a machine. I mean, the dude has a surprising amount of power for his size, but he can make people miss. He's fast. I watched a good portion of that game, you know, this week on replay. I was like, wow, he's back. He looks really good. So I'm a Jared Patterson fan. Where do you stand on that one?
You know, we talked about it when we were going through our conference by conference in the offseason, and Jared Patterson was one of the guys we hit on. And that's the same things that we said that we liked about him, his power compared to his size, his explosive ability. Like, it's all on film this year, too. So he's up there for me as well. I mean, you hit on it. He's absolutely a joy to watch. I mean, he's just one of those guys that you can just sit there and just watch film on all day. Because, I mean, he's that guy, man. He's that guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, you never know who's going to step up in a class, and you have to weigh the quality of the competition. But there's no doubt about his ability. So that's one we want to pay attention to, and don't lose sight of this kid just because he plays for Buffalo. So the next topic, and I want your opinion on, I wrote an article about it, and that's the two North Carolina running backs. We've got Javonte Williams, and we've got Michael Carter. And going into the season and early in the season, I was a Carter guy. I thought his game was just more dynamic. It felt like when he touched the ball, he changed the pace of the game. He was quick. He made things happen. But over time, as I watched more and more Williams, he is looking really good. Which one of those guys do you like better, and why is that?
I mean, I still personally lean Michael Carter. It's just it's one of those things, right, where every time Michael Carter touches the ball, I feel like he just does something awesome with it. Like, you know that scene, and I'm showing my youngness here, so you got to forgive me, but that scene in The Incredibles where that kid's sitting on his bike and Mr. Incredible gets out of the car, right, and the kid's like, he's like, what are you waiting for? And the kid's like, something amazing, I guess. Like, that's how I feel when I watch Michael Carter. Like, every time he touches the ball, like, something amazing happens. Like, he's just the more explosive running back. He's got that big play potential. Definitely like him a little more than Williams. But, I mean, obviously, if you're North Carolina, this is a great position to be in. Like, you got 2,000-yard rushers on your roster. Like, you're not in a bad shape. And I think for Debbie guys, like, regardless of which one you like, whether it be Williams or Carter, you're getting a player. And if you use a later round pick on one of these guys, you're going to be happy about it. So I can't argue with either one.
Yeah, the one thing that I keep going back to, and where I kind of ended the article on, was Javonte Williams. He is either leading or near the top of FBS in yards after contact and broken tackles. And those are stats that really, in my opinion, translate well to the NFL. He's the goal line back too, so you got to consider that, especially when you're looking at it from a fantasy football perspective, because, I mean, you want the guy that's scoring touchdowns, and he's got the size to do that. But if he has proven that he has the ability to either not maybe make guys miss completely, but make them miss enough where he's just running through an arm tackle and getting yards afterwards, that's significant. You know, he might not bust the 75-yard touchdown run, but he's going to make the 3-yard gain turn into an 8-yard gain, because he's going to get enough yards after contact to make a bigger play. So I'm still kind of struggling with it, but right now I'm kind of leaning Williams, and I can't ignore that part of his game, and I think it's going to be something that's going to attract at least one NFL team, and he might get a shot.
Yeah, I mean, you got a grinder and Williams, and you got the home run hitter and Michael Carter. So it's really just whichever you prefer. Teams love the grinder, so I can see where he could get a higher draft stock. But for me, with the price that you're getting them for, I mean, it, as of right now, it's cheaper than I feel like it's going to be. I would rather take the ceiling play in Michael Carter than the floor play in Javonte Williams, if that makes sense.
Yep, I hear you. All right, let's talk about guys we have moving up and down. Who are your players whose stock is rising?
So we already hit on him a little bit, DJ Uiagalelei. He looked fantastic in his first starting gig for Clemson last week. Once they finally opened the offense up, like we talked about, and let him sling the rock a little more, let him be himself, he absolutely took over that game. He's every bit as advertised as what we've been talking about. I don't need to hit on anymore. We all know what we saw with DJ. One guy that I hit on a little bit was Garrett Wilson. He has two back-to-back 100-yard games. He's Ohio State's leading receiver, and that's a little surprising, right? We all considered Chris Olave to be the leading receiver on that team, but so far it's been Garrett Wilson, and he's looked good doing it. He's an explosive athlete. He comes up huge in contested catch situations, and he's one of Field's go-to receivers. And you hit on it before, just because of the way Wilson and Olave have been playing, there's not been as much freshman work as I expected. You know, Wilson and Olave are getting a lot of that work, and we're not seeing as much as the JSNs, the Flemings, or the G. Scotts we thought we were going to see. So Garrett Wilson is somebody that I've been high on all season, and I'm going to continue to be high on up until draft time. One guy that I really wanted to hit on was, you know, we talked about how Penn State was shifting from a run-first team to a more pass-happy offense. And the main benefactor of that is their wide receiver, Jahan Dotson.
Yes.
I mean, he is, especially last week, I know you know what drive I'm talking about, where he came up with just two spectacular catches back-to-back. I mean, bending his body, catching the ball one hand while falling backwards. I mean, whenever we have a Penn State receiver that's going off, we take notice, right? I mean, we had Chris Godwin. Chris Godwin a few years ago did the same thing. You know, we're supposed to take notice when we see a Penn State receiver going off, and Jahan Dotson's doing that. He's already got four total touchdowns. He had three total last year, and he's balling out, man. He's somebody that could explode this year if they continue to be pass friendly and as pass happy as they have been.
Yeah, that catch on the sidelines was absolutely insane. I mean, that was one of those deals where, if memory serves, that was Halloween night. So we had a little bit of the neighborhood trick or treating. You know, we all put our tables out at the end of the driveway so kids could kind of just take it, so we're not touching it and handing it to them. And then we had bonfires going. It was super windy here, but we're hanging out, you know, outside or in garages, and we had the game on. And it was one of those deals where I saw that, and I was like, guys, you need to watch this replay. That was insane. That was an insanely good catch. So, I mean, arguably the catch of the year. So, yeah, he's definitely turning some heads. I'm going to have to, you know, see how that continues to progress as the season moves on. Of course, we're only two games into the Big Ten schedule. But I'm gonna stick with the Big Ten as well and talk about guys that are moving up. I already talked about, you know, Graham Mertz and Zach Wilson. Well, Zach Wilson's not Big Ten, but those two quarterbacks, of course, are moving up, so I'm not going to get into them anymore. Jake Ferguson, though, Mertz's teammate with the Badgers, Jake Ferguson is the real deal, I think, at tight end. And this is a deep tight end class, you know, 2021. Everybody knows about Pitts and Brevin Jordan and Pat Freiermuth, you know, also Big Ten there at Penn State. But, man, there's some other guys that are – it's going to be a fun class to watch, you know, for them. And – I've got Jake Ferguson, you know, into that. He's starting to get into that next tier of tight end. I mean, he makes all the catches. He gets open. He just looks like kind of that complete tight end that you're going to like. You know, not as good as Freiermuth, but, you know, that next level below. So really liking his game. I mean, we talked about this, you know, in podcasts during the offseason as well. And while his stats might not jump out at you, you got to remember, you know, for a tight end catching, you know, 30, 35 balls for 400 some yards and a few touchdowns in a Wisconsin Badger offense that has had a 2,000 yard rusher three consecutive years, those are great numbers at tight end for that offense. I mean, they just don't throw the ball to put up better numbers. So you got to look past that and just watch how he plays. And he's got good hands. I like him. And then my third guy is my guy from the Gophers, and that's running back Mohamed Ibrahim. And, you know, this is one of those guys that was kind of a sleeper coming in because he didn't carry the load last year. They were splitting time, and you had to look back to 2018 when he was the primary back, and he had great stats. And he comes out this year, and he is absolutely firing. I mean, he is definitely a power back. He's not gonna bust the 75-yard big play, but he's got enough of a burst to get to the second level, you know, and then, you know, kind of punish defensive backs that are coming up to hit him. I mean, I like his aggressiveness. I like his strength. So I know you're probably gonna agree with me on this one. I'm not just being a homer here, but, you know, row the boat for Ibrahim.
Absolutely not being a homer, man. I watched, you know, we took our anniversary trip last weekend, and I was able to sneak away for a little bit, and I had the Minnesota game on because I was really looking forward to watching that game. And I mean, I tweeted it out. Every time I turn on and watch Muhammad Ibrahim, I'm continuously more and more impressed. Like we talked about with some other guys, you know, how we like broken tackles and how we like the ability to create yards after contact and how well that translates in the NFL. And Ibrahim does that at an exceptional level. I mean, when he gets the rock, I mean, it sometimes feels like he's going out, he's looking for people to hit, and he's looking for people to run through. And that's just his game. I mean, he's exciting to watch. He absolutely exploded last week. And he was an under-the-radar guy. You know, I tweeted it out and I said, you know, if you don't have a share of Muhammad Ibrahim, go out and buy one now. And like, he immediately goes off for like, what, 4 touchdowns. So I was like, I had to correct myself. I just go, you know, never mind. He's not cheap anymore. But no, you're not being a homer, man. If I get to see too much more of Ibrahim, I'm falling more in love. And if I watch too much of his game tape, I'm going to be yelling, row the boat with you, man. Cause I feel this kid.
We need all the help we can get, you know, for people rowing the boat. Unfortunately, well, the offense is looking pretty good. The defense, yeah, absolutely is not. And they lost a lot of people, but yeah, it's been a tough start to the season for my Gophers. So let's get into who we have moving down. You know, where are your players that you're just not quite as high on? And I'm reviewing this list now. Actually, I'll be honest, for the first time, and there's one guy I think I disagree with you a little bit. This will be interesting.
So we can go ahead and start with that one if you want, man. I'm completely okay with that. Yeah, I'm assuming the guy that you're talking about is Phil Jurkovec from Boston College.
Yes, it is.
I know he's your guy, but when I was watching that Clemson game, he looked really good to start the game. Like he was that Boston College offense was driving down the field, and he looked great. I mean, just flat out, he looked good. But the more I watched that game, and as the game went on, I don't know if it was the offensive line. I don't know if it was just the offensive game scheme as a whole. But the more I watched him, he just – something happened to him in the second half, and he just didn't look the guy that he looked in the first half. So the inconsistency worried me a little bit, so that's why I had to move him down a little bit. But, I mean, he's a player, but there's some inconsistency issues with me when I watched his game.
That is absolutely fair. I'll give you that. I just think as a whole for the season, you know, Jakovic has looked really good. And surprisingly so, and you know, it's really kind of his breakout season, if you will. So I'm intrigued to see where his career takes him. I think he's not a tier one, tier two guy, but he's an interesting prospect. So I'm not ready to move him down my list right now. I'm not skyrocketing him either. He's just kind of holding steady in the middle there. Yeah, so.
And that's fair. Like I can definitely understand that for sure. Another guy that I'm moving down that is not having a phenomenal season in my eyes is Chuba Hubbard. Every time I watch his game, I'm just like, you know how we talked about how I'm waiting for some guys to do something amazing, and Chuba Hubbard he's not doing that this season. From as explosive and as fast and just the home run hitter that he looked last year in that offense, he hasn't looked good this season. And part of that is definitely some quarterback play, and teams are keying more on Hubbard. But to come in and say that this guy was supposed to be the RB3 in this class, I just don't see it. Like, there's other running backs so far in this class that I'm more confident drafting right now than Chuba Hubbard.
Yeah, I've not been a big Hubbard guy, really relative to where his draft position has been. You know, you don't necessarily hate the player, you hate their ADP, and people were taking him so high in Debbie drafts, and I just I can't commit that to him because he just feels like that guy that, yeah, he's great if the hole is right in front of him and he'll go through it and he's fast. But I don't
see he's not gonna create on his own, right?
Right. I don't see the vision and the lateral movement that I think he would need to be really successful in the NFL. So yeah, I absolutely agree with you on that one.
And then just another, I don't know if this is a guy or guys that I'm moving down, but I'm just moving down the Mississippi State offense as a whole. You know, we were so excited to watch this Mike Leach offense, and I don't know what happened. Like, I guess they got into some SEC defenses, and that offense no longer works anymore. But that offense is getting thrashed week in and week out. I mean, to the point where KJ Costello's injured. There's a QB controversy going down. Kylin Hill just flat out said, I'm out. Like, I'm done.
Yeah, maybe that's why he left. Well, it's like they completely blew their wad in week one against LSU. It's like they absolutely explode for, you know, over 600 yards and then nothing. It's like, what is going on? Yeah, I don't get it at all. That is strange. All right. Getting into this weekend, the games, of course, there's a lot of good ones to watch, but really want to focus on the fact that the Pac-12 is back. So we have a full slate, of course, full slate minus the games that have been canceled due to COVID, but we have another conference to play, and there's some exciting players here. So kind of go through these, you know, position by position, just from a Debbie and, you know, campus to camp perspective. I identified a couple quarterbacks for sure in the Pac-12, and the biggest name is Keaton Slovis at USC, and then his enemy for today, the opponent, Jaden Daniels from ASU, a big matchup, and it's in the first slate of games at, you know, 11 o'clock Central. I'm absolutely watching that game because I want to see these two guys. Where are your thoughts on Slovis and Daniels? You know, are these the only two guys from a quarterback perspective in Devy that we should really be paying attention to right now in the Pac-12?
So obviously we know what Slovis and Daniels are. This game is the game to, if you're watching college football at 12 o'clock Eastern time or 11 Central, wherever you're at, this is the game that you need to key in on because the USC offense is explosive. And I really like Jaden Daniels to be the match to that and to come in and bring it back the other way. There's one guy that I want to hit on that some people in the Devy analyst community are really high on, and that's Oregon's Tyler Shough if he plays. I know that Kane, I'm going to shout out to Devy Kane. He's somebody that's been high on Tyler Shough this entire offseason. I'm pretty sure Brandon Lejeune was pretty high on Tyler Shough too, and they've got some shares of him, but he's somebody that, you know, you're coming in for Justin Herbert. You've got some big shoes to fill. And I think this kid can do it. He's somebody to definitely keep an eye on if he plays.
Yep. Yeah, that's a great call. I like that one, and he's one to watch. And again, I'm focusing just on the players, too, that actually are playing this weekend. So if you feel like I'm missing guys, it could be that their team's just not playing. Running backs, switching into that position, we've got C.J. Verdell from Oregon, Max Borgie, Washington State, and Jamar Jefferson from Oregon State. We've talked a lot about Max Borgie in the preseason pods that we did, and I think you and I see eye to eye on this guy. It'll be interesting to see what his game looks like, you know, with a new system. You know, is he gonna keep catching as many passes as he does, and if he does, is he gonna improve those yards? Because I remember the stats, you know, were great from a number of catches, but the yardage was not impressive whatsoever.
This is definitely, to get a little vulgar here, I guess, this is definitely Max Borgie's time to either nut up or shut up, right? He's somebody that has been loved by the Devy community. You know, he's got the Christian McCaffrey comps. You know, he can catch the football. We're all excited about a guy that can catch the football. But we haven't really seen his usage and his ability to be an in-between the tackles runner. So if he wants to solidify the draft stock that everybody's been giving him, he's got to, yes, improve on the pass catching and the yards after the catch, but he's got to improve on being a runner in between the tackles. Because, I mean, if he doesn't improve on these things, he's a third down back, and his value to me is absolutely washed.
Yep, I agree. I'm not I'm, you know, I don't have any shares of him in all my leagues, and I don't want to acquire them. I'm not convinced on Borghi. Two guys that I'm more interested in watching just to see, can they pick things up, and you know, they've had good seasons in the past, but can they improve to really step up their draft stock, is CJ Verdell and Jamar Jefferson. I like both these kids. They've got exciting, explosive games. But I think one of the things that Shaq had mentioned in the offseason, especially on Verdell, is he needs to be more consistent. And he'll have that game where he explodes for 175 yards, and then all of a sudden he'll have a couple games where it's like he's not even there and he's not doing anything. So those are the two that I think we really need to be paying attention to, because they have the potential to be, you know, legitimate NFL prospects if they can step up and improve.
Yeah, you know, shout out to Shaq. You know, he called it. He hit it perfectly on the head with CJ Verdell. You know, you need to see his consistency improve. He's definitely got the talent, but you need to see him do that week in and week out. So I'm excited to watch him do that. We talked about it a little off air. Jamar Jefferson, I feel like, you know, you said it out of sight, out of mind. You know, I feel like that's what we have with Jamar Jefferson. He didn't play last year due to an injury, and people have kind of forgotten about how good Jamar Jefferson is. So if you don't have a share of Jefferson, my advice would be to go out and get one right now, because after next week, his price is going to skyrocket. I can feel an explosive season coming for Jamar Jefferson, where he reminds us all just how good he is.
Yeah, it's a great point, because he is one of those guys too. It's that huge just glut of running backs that are after the top two in next year's class. You know, everybody knows you got Etienne and Harris at the top. It's after that what's going to happen. I mean, it can be really anybody's you know, game to pick up, and they can, you know, show out, you know, during the college football season, they could show out at the combine, and all of a sudden they make themselves a day two pick, you know, maybe even a round two pick. And, you know, round two for a running back's huge. I mean, that's kind of where the best running backs go. You don't see running backs typically go in the first round anymore. So it's really about getting that day two draft stock. That's what we want to look for our Debbie prospects. Wide receivers, I mean, talk about crowded wide receiver room. The first four names I felt like I needed to mention, just because they're all on the same team at USC. I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Drake London, Tyler Vaughns, Brew McCoy. I mean, this is crazy. And I think Amon-Ra St. Brown is pretty much locked in as the go-to guy there. He's the clearly the top-rated prospect at USC. But what's going to happen with the rest of these guys? And, you know, where do you see, you know, the passes going? Who do you think out of the next three is going to be the guy to step up that you're going to want on your Debbie roster?
So obviously when we talked about Ohio State, we said that they're an embarrassment of riches in the wide receiver room, and USC is the exact same way. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because, you know, when we watched Ohio State, the established guys were getting more of the run than the younger guys were. And I can honestly see part of that with USC. You know, Amon-Ra St. Brown is obviously going to get his work. Tyler Vaughns is going to get his work. I know Shaq loves himself some Drake London. He's been hyping him up all season. But one guy that I've really looked to have an explosive year this year is Brew McCoy. You know, I've said it all offseason. I'm excited to see what Brew McCoy can do. He's been a guy that I've been getting absolutely everywhere that I can, because I can just feel an explosive year coming from this kid. I mean, he's another one of those guys that injury has been out of sight, out of mind. People have forgotten just how good Brew McCoy was coming into college. I mean, he was the number one receiver. He was a five-star recruit. Brew McCoy could very well go off this game, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, of course, we don't want to overreact to one game either, right? Let's see a couple, see what happens with this team. But the USC passing attack is absolutely one to watch.
They got a freshman there too that's not even that we didn't even mention. So I mean, they're
I figured with all that talent, we're not going to get any a whole lot of freshmen run. Now watch, he'll go off and absolutely explode. But Oregon's got an intriguing prospect, Devin Williams. I know we both like this kid, and he's high on our list of guys that we think can have a breakout season. So I'm really intrigued to watch Devin Williams at Oregon. and I know you are too, I'm assuming. So where do you think Devin Williams' season's going to end up? Is he going to show the way we want him to?
I mean, shout out once again to Shaq. He put us on to Devin Williams, and he pointed out how the coaches for Oregon had the Chris Godwin comp for him. So I think that's kind of turned everybody on to Devin Williams. You know how much I love him. I tried to get him from you in our C2C league, and you wouldn't let him go. So only a little salty about that. But, yeah, I mean, Devin Williams could have a really good season. And, honestly, like, when you look at it, Oregon's wide receiver core is wide open. You know, Pittman's gone to the NFL. There's a massive vacancy in targets. And I think Devin Williams, he's definitely the big play, big body guy in that offense. It could very well shift to him, and he could have an explosive season as well.
Yeah, at 6'4", 200 pounds, you like his size for sure. So really want to see what happens with him. And the last guy I've got mentioned at Arizona State, it's Frank Darby. He has gotten more and more, I think, I don't say publicity, but you hear analysts across the industry really starting to hype up Darby, and they like what they see from this kid. So I think he is one that, you know, you need to keep on your radar. If it's a deeper league, he might already be gone, but in shallower leagues, he's probably available. So really excited to see what this kid could do. We know he's got a pretty good quarterback in Jaden Daniels throwing him the ball. So want to see if that connection produces more this year. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he could very well. I mean, somebody in that offense, if USC is going to be as good today as we think they're going to be, somebody's got to bring it back on the other side, and Frank Darby can be that guy. There's we talked about how Oregon doesn't really have any competition for targets, and ASU is kind of the same way. Frank Darby is definitely the man in that offense as well. So I like him a whole lot. I'm excited to watch him today.
Yep, absolutely. So lots of good games to watch, lots of Pac-12 action finally, so that'll be exciting. I love the fact that they have one at 11 o'clock Central as well. That's an early game for Pac-12. But we're at the end of the show sheet. Next week, you know, we'll do a lot of the same stuff. We'll get back into the rhythm here. But one of the things we have to mention, I want to add, is do a little bit of a freshman check-in. Let's see how the 2020 freshman class is looking so far. We obviously have talked about a lot of these players, you know, throughout the podcast recently. But kind of focus on those guys and how they might have changed in our rankings, you know, coming in to the season. We'll get into that. And then, of course,
it sounds like you're giving me a whole show to talk about Tank Bigsby, man. I appreciate that.
Wait, what? you like Tank Bigsby? No. Well, maybe just a little bit. Yeah. So, Matt, what are your final thoughts, and where can people find your work?
Man, I'm glad to be back, man. It feels good to be back in the studio talking Devy with you. I'm excited to watch football. We got a lot of good games this week. So I'm excited to watch the football this weekend. You guys can find me on Twitter at @DHH_Matt. Always happy to interact with you guys. Feel free to DM me trade questions, draft questions. You know, always happy to interact with you guys. My rankings are up on Dynasty Nerds. I also do some YouTube work with the Fantasy Football Authority. Putting out some player profiles video series on some guys in there. Got a risers and fallers series coming out pretty soon. Also have an article on Dynasty Nerds dropping on Zach Wilson player profile dropping on Dynasty Nerds soon. So we talked about him. If you want to hear more, head over to Dynasty Nerds here pretty soon, and I should have that up as well.
Awesome. I am really looking forward to that article. Have to mention Shaq, as always. He's at Dynasty Tools on Twitter. Of course, he doesn't have the time to do his podcast either with us or his Dynasty Tools podcast, but he is active still on Twitter on game days. So, you know, you can reach out to him and tag him on stuff, and he'll get back to you. He's also does a lot of film stuff over at Dynasty Nerds as well. And we miss you, big guy, at Dynasty Tools, Shaq. He's the man. And of course, we are part of the Dynasty Happy Hour team of podcasts. We've got the Dynasty Happy Hour, Tim Keller, Doug Eddy, and Tyler Gunther. They record every other Sunday night. The off weeks, it's the Chasing the Points episode, so that's a good one as well. And then you've got the DHH Contractor, hosted by Randy, a.k.a. Memphis, where he will go through your Dynasty roster and give you a roadmap for success. So be sure to reach out to him at DFF Memphis. And then I think we're still looking for a couple of people, hosts, to do the IDP Power Hour. So that one hasn't hasn't found new hosts yet, but for those of you that play IDP, that's one you want to listen to once we're back up and running. Of course, again, my name is Skip Newton at SkipNewton31. I do this podcast and I cover the ACC for the Dynasty Draft Room. My next article, I'm going to focus on DJ Uiagalelei because he'll have a couple of games in as the starter, and I want to break that down for everyone and talk about his positives and things he needs to work on. So we'll get into that. Look for that this week. And as always, now this week I want to shout out, do my appreciation and thank you to Tyler Justin Karp. He's at DFF_Karp. Great analyst, and he's just an awesome guy to be in a league with. We're in Trade Addicts 8 together, and I think we're actually in another league as well, maybe the Vampire League. He's in one of the other divisions. But, man, is he fun. He will throw out trades, and he's always doing the bottom of the barrel type stuff. I mean, he does big trades too, but, you know, he'll throw me one of his, you know, just randomly low prospects and try to, you know, give me a fifth round pick or a fourth round pick for him. And it's so fun. And he's such a great guy because he always says, oh man, sorry to throw you another one. I'm like, dude, you're making the league more fun. And every once in a while he throws you on. He's like, hey, that might actually work out. Where I think I ended up with Jamichael Hasty from him, and, you know, for like a fifth round pick or what, I don't know what it was, but I said, you know what, in San Francisco, you never know who's going to end up being the running back there. So I went out and grabbed him. But Tyler, I know you listen to the show because you're starting to get into Debbie a little bit. So just big appreciation for you, man. You're a great guy to be in a league with. So you're an awesome dude. Thanks a lot, man. And that will be it for our show. So to everyone else, thank you so much for listening. If you have any ideas for future podcasts, please let us know. We'd love to get the ratings and reviews. And I hope you enjoy another awesome weekend of football. Be a good human.